There is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones. And a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. And then together on verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And also together on verse 17, I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this day of coming to this church. We're thankful for the kind of church and for the kind of leadership that keeps the schedule regardless of the holidays. We're thankful for the faithfulness of good people. Thank you for this great crowd. Bless, we pray, and help us and teach us and help us to have willing and open minds and hearts to receive that which you've given to our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning in sort of a New Year's kind of a sermon. Tonight I'll bring a Christmas-type message. I want to speak this morning on the subject of full life in 2001. A full life in 2001. There are two different areas of life. One I call the circumstantial, or the circumstances of life. It is God who determines those. He has a will for my life. And two, the events of my life. I'm the one who plans the events of my life. God has planned it, but I make my decision of my schedule for the day and the activities of my life. And so I want to talk to you this morning on the subject, a full life in 2001. I'm going to read for you a few of the verses we read. By the way, this was written by the wise King Solomon. He's an aged man. He's a man that has had everything that a person could want. He knows what brings happiness because he's tried it all. He's tried riches. He's tried pleasure. He's tried women. He's tried fame. He's tried power. He's tried it all. He comes to the end of his life and says, now, let me tell you what I found out. And we'd be very wise to accept the advice of a man who's had it all. And he says, and I'll not read all of these, but a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to pluck up or harvest that which is planted. He goes on to say a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, and that means to jump up and down with joy, shout if you please, a time to cast away stones, a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. That's when you're in Hiles Anderson College. A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep, a time to cast away, a time to love, a time to hate, a time of war, a time of peace. And then he goes on down in verse 11 and says, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. What God is saying here is that we all live by schedule. And that we need all of these things, and each should have its own schedule time, and in its own time, God has made everything beautiful. A sermon on a hell and at a funeral is not in its time. a sermon on hell in a revival meeting is in its time, and it's beautiful. Everything, all these things God has said, ought to have a part and be a part in and of our lives. And then, let me read for you again. In verse 17 it says, "For there is a time there for every purpose and every work." A time, a set time, a scheduled time, a planned time. Please listen carefully. I'm not going to preach a bombastic message. I'm going to preach a message I think is one of the great secrets to the life of this preacher and can be to you. Father, bless me as I speak and our people as they hear. And may it be beneficial to us, not only today, but for the 12 months of 2001. Bless me this morning. And may it be a blessing to the people as they live the next year and plan for that life. Amen. Somebody asked me, what is good music? There is good music and there is bad music. What is good music? I think that bad music is a music of repetition of beat or rhythm. Basically, that's what's wrong with rock music, a constant repetition of the same type beat and the same type rhythm. On the other side, there is music that is the same type on a mournful kind. On one side in our churches, you have the formal music and the state music. On the other side, you have the contemporary type worship music. But good music is that music which has a variety. Sometimes you listen to the great music of the ages, and you'll notice that it's soft for a while, and then it gets loud for a while. It'll speed up for a while, and then get slow for a while. That is a good sign or a sign of good music. Somebody asked me, what is good art? Good art is like good music. It is not repetitious. It is not all the same color. Look at the creation that God has made and the differences in the colors and the multicolored world that God has made. Good art is the same way. If a painting is all of a blue shades or all of red shades, it may be pretty, but it's not a variety of colors, and I think that good art has such a variety. A good meal. Ah, we're down to where we live now. A good meal. What is a good meal? A good meal is one that has a variety. It has a nice salad with blue cheese dressing on the top, and then it has a steak about an inch and a half thick and about 16 ounces, and it's beside the steak. You don't have all steak. You go to a place and the steak is 24 ounces. After a while, we used to go a great deal to Ruth's Chris Steakhouse over in Chicago, and they have the best ribeye steak in the world. That is, the first third of it is delicious. But the thing is so big, after a while you just chew and hope I can get through this thing. My wife and I went over to a steakhouse in the area and ordered one of those, each of us ordered one of those big onions. What do you call them? Onions. And I'll tell you what, the first pound and a half of that was delicious. But before it was over, we were sick of it. And the truth is, we've never gone back to the steakhouse again and have no plans of doing so. Why? The same old thing, just onion after onion after onion. It was great at the first. A good meal, as I said, has a nice salad with blue cheese dressing with some of the cheese and hunks on the top, and a steak that's medium well, or however you like it, and a mashed potato with the side. A little diversion, if you please, or baked potato with cheese sprinkled on top of it and with butter oozing out of the side. But you need something sweet. So you have pecan pie with ice cream on the top. Now that's a good meal. In our house, it's interesting, we say this so often, when we snack, we eat something sweet. But then we want a salted taste in our mouth. So we go over and we eat something salty. But then we want a sweet taste in our mouth. That's preaching, brother, whether you like it or not. That's real preaching. And especially in this season. I'm on a diet. I'm trying to gain less this Christmas than I gained last Christmas. And But a good meal is a variety. In fact, we quit eating in a place because it's a good place. We ate there for a long time, but we quit going there because the food seemed like it was all alike. What is good music? It's variety of beat and tone and speed. What is good art? A variety of colors and shades. What is a good meal? A variety of food, if you please. What is a good personality? A well-rounded personality. Not someone who's always morose or overly serious. Not someone that's always cutting up and always giddy. But a well-rounded personality. Someone that knows how to talk about some philosophies. And someone that knows how to enjoy some humor. And someone that knows something about current events. Like, I wonder who the president of the United States is right now. I mean, that's what a good personality is. No one likes to be with someone who is always serious or someone who is always joking or always too lighthearted. A good personality is a well-rounded personality. That's why God made a day like he did. You have the morning, you have the afternoon, you have the evening, you have the nighttime. It's a variety. Mrs. Howes and I were on a cruise 2 years ago. Went up to the Arctic Circle, and we actually went as far as the Arctic ice would allow us to go. And the northernmost town in the entire world, Spitsbergen, is that it? Spitsbergen, Norway, way up on an island, the northernmost town in the entire world. But ladies and gentlemen, we didn't see the darkness for 3 days. It was all light. You got up, went outside, took pictures at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now that's good to visit, but I wouldn't want that day after day after day. Nor would I want to, they said, up there in the wintertime, it's always dark also. Now a good life is a well-rounded life. A good year has, in some areas of the world, it has spring and summer and fall and winter. Here we have summer and winter and winter and winter. But that's why God made it that way. He's a God of variety. A good church, for example, not just a soul-winning church, but a church that's well-rounded. Not just a Bible-teaching church, but a church that does teach the Bible. And a church that does go soul-winning. Not just a church that's interested in fighting sin only, but fight sin. Everything in its own time. There's a time for a vacation Bible school when the preacher plays a fool up here in front of all the children. There's a time for youth conference when the preacher tries to be a teenager, though he's in his mid-70s, tries to be a teenager. There's a time for the Lord's Supper when the church quietens itself and remembers what it's all about, the death of our Savior on the cross. There's a time for soul winning. There's a time for hard preaching and comforting preaching. That's what a good church is, and that's what good preaching. Paul said this to Peter, or to Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, preach the word, but that isn't all. He said also, exhort. That isn't all. Also, rebuke. But that isn't all. He said, do it with long suffering. That means comfort. But that isn't all. He said, teach doctrine. So a church that's all doctrine is not a well-balanced church. A church that is all preaching hard is not a well-balanced church. A church that is all rebuking is not a well-balanced church. But there must be encouragement. There must be rebuking. Rebuking is necessary. There's a time for me to rebuke. There's a time for me to encourage. There's a time for me to comfort. And life is that way. The great secret to life is the variety. That's what God is saying here. Somebody asked me, who is the greatest preacher in the world, in your opinion? I could not answer that because humility prevents me from answering that. But I don't know who the greatest preacher in the world is. I know two things about him. The first place, whoever he is, he doesn't know it. And the second place, you'd have to go for 1 year and hear every preacher in America preach for 1 year. Preach on Sunday morning, preach on Sunday night, teach on Wednesday night, weddings and funerals and youth conferences and so forth. You'd have to hear him for 1 year and then decide after the entire spectrum of the year whether or not he was a great preacher. What is a good life? And here's the sermon. Good music, variety. Good art, variety. Good personality, variety. A good church?
Variety.
A day?
Variety.
A year?
Variety.
Good preaching?
Variety.
But a good life. A good life in 2001 is a balanced life. A well-rounded life. Not a one-dimensional life, but with each of these things we mentioned a while ago. There, each of these things, there ought to be a time in your life to weep. There ought to be a time in your life to laugh. There ought to be a time in your life to mourn. There ought to be a time in your life to rejoice. There ought to be a time in your life to get. There ought to be a time in your life to lose. And God is simply saying that in every life, there ought to be these times. And by the way, you set these times, if you please. Life cannot be and should not be all laughter. We also need tears. Life cannot be and should not be all reaping. There must be and should be planting. Life cannot be and should not be all successes. There must be and needs be failures. Life cannot be and should not be all winning. There must be and should be losing. Life cannot be and should not be all speaking. There must be and there should be silence. Life cannot be and should not be all love. There's some things that we're supposed to hate. I hate communism. I hate abortion. I hate the liquor traffic. I hate the dope traffic. I hate the rock music culture. Not the people, but life must not be all love. There should be also hate. Life should not be and cannot be all peace. There is a time, the Bible says, to fight or time for battle. Their life cannot be and should not be all smooth. There must be a time for life to erupt. Now, I am told, hear me carefully, I am told that much of this should be planned. I should take, and you should, in 2001, take these things here, and look at them and plan that your life, just like the composer plans a musical, just like the artist plans a painting, just like the preacher plans his sermon repertoire, just like God has planned a day, and just like God has planned a year. Take each. Somebody said, hold it, preacher. It says there are time to kill. Are you supposed to kill? Oh, yes. You say, when? Oh, Thanksgiving's a good time to kill. Get the big old bird, wring his neck. I can see my mama now in the backyard with a chicken, him wringing its neck, holding its head like that, eyeballs going around in her hand, and mama had the head of this chicken and wring it. And then it would flop without its head on the ground and so forth. But God isn't saying there's a time to murder, but he's saying there is a time for everything. Now, these things should be on purpose. I'm giving you, ladies and gentlemen, the great secret to my joy at 74 years of age, why I'm happy. My life is not wrapped up in a one-dimensional doctrine, a one-dimensional kind of preaching. I refuse to become stereotyped. I'm simply saying, in case you want to have a great life in 2001, you take what God has told you, plan this, and plan this, and plan the other. I must schedule time to plant. I'm a scheduled time to reap. I'm a scheduled time to laugh. I'm a scheduled time to weep. I'm a scheduled time to love. I'm a scheduled time to hate. I'm a scheduled time to rejoice. I'm a scheduled time to mourn. And if you have a great 2001 or a great life, you're going to have to plan more than being a one-dimension, one-type person, but have all the enjoyments of life and all the necessities as God has listed here. I want my life. Get this now.